On Monday night.
The 5th of November, 4th of, what, Monday night, at the communications building for the Orange County races. Any of you who plan to work on the voting, that's kind of our briefing, final briefing, because that's the night before. So you're welcome to attend, and Ken Bourne, who's our radio officer, his wife has a sweet tooth, so there's always a big basket of goodies. And Carol's just a great cook, so. We call it a refresher course because, as you know, none of us would ever forget something we were told at a younger age. So it is a refresher course. I'm going to start out by passing out a couple of different kinds of compasses for you to look at. I'd like to have all of them back eventually. This compass hung on my dad's hunting jacket for 45 years in northern Michigan, and he never got lost in the woods. This is about a $4 compass from a hiking shop in one of the Grand National Parks. If you decide to buy maps, and I'm sure not pressing for it, because I'm trying to work on a system right now with the county and the fire authority, maybe we can download some maps cheaper, because these maps, which we're going to use tonight, are 13 bucks a piece. Now, if the same map, maybe even 10 years newer, from the printing office in Denver, is 5 bucks. But these guys, these fellows, father and son, have them in stock. So you can walk in and say, do you have a 1936 map for Mission Viejo? And they go, oh, yeah. And they do. Occasionally, they don't have a map because the Boy Scouts hit them hard when the Boy Scouts go out in their cross-country training and stuff. So I have been to every conceivable map store in Orange County, and there aren't any. There really aren't any. The county is on Thomas Brothers Map Guides, which is probably the most worthless map you could ever buy, unless you're in town. In town, it's fine. Main Street and Civic Center, and you know where you are. And the sheriff's kids are so good at it, they can drive 80 miles an hour, because I do ride-alongs, with this map book in their lap and still not wreck the car. I'm not sure how they're doing that. But so I went in search of maps. Here's an Orange County map for Central, North, South, Orange County Guide. And then this one, which is just the best that REI had to sell. It's big enough to be a survival blanket. And how you'd use that inside of a car moving down a crooked road, I'm not sure. Besides, there's too much information on here. I mean, do you really need to know about what kind of flowers and what kind of bears and what kind of this and that you have? So going back to my younger days, and the Marine Corps is a funny operation, you know. They're always training for the last war. And so when we went to Vietnam, we were trained just the way they fought the war in Korea. And so we had an artillery unit of 5 guns, 105 howitzers, and 2 forward observers. Whoopee, when you get to Vietnam, we're running 16, 18, 20 patrols a day with 2 forward observers. So somehow the officers got tasked with calling their own artillery. Damn, you get good at reading the map. When you're calling the artillery over your own head, now admittedly, we started out with cheat sheets. We had pre-registered hilltops and stuff. You could call for fire concentration 204, and they would hit the spot every time. But then the ballsy part became, when you say drop 500, then let's say drop 250 more, getting closer to you, because you wanted to walk it right up in front of yourself, because obviously right in front of you were the bad guys. And what you don't want to do is drop too much and have an extra round behind you, because then you're really screwed up, because then you got to go back and start over again. And when you holler fire for effect, you damn well better know where you are, because then all 5 guns start shooting at once. When you're targeting, you're using Willie Peter or white phosphorus rounds, 1 gun only, 1 tube. And when you go fire for effect, the other 4 tubes have been tracking every move they've been making. And we got in an ambush one time in about Christmas of 65, and we were at max range away from the guns. And every time the five guns would shoot, four were landing on the bad guys and one round was landing on us every time. And they kept it up for 45 minutes until to the left of me, the entire 106 recoilless rifle platoon didn't exist. Just feet and elbows and helmets. But had General Jonas Platt not been sitting in a helicopter, putting himself in danger, calling artillery round after artillery round, we probably all would have been dead. So I love artillery, it scares the hell out of me. But I really love maps, and that's a function of getting through Vietnam and coming home. While in college before that, I worked in a fire tower in northern Michigan, put my way through school. And sit in those fire towers, and you learn to read maps pretty good. You see old steel towers, you go up, about 100 feet or 80 or whatever. And you'd sit there begging for boredom to go away. But they had an interesting system for people who weren't well schooled in map reading. In the center of the fire tower is a table. And on the table is a map of your area. And it's already oriented, and there's a pin in the middle. And you set a lining tool on the pin. And the pin is where the tower is. And so then you can just take this thing, you can rotate it all the way around, 360 degrees, and if you see a smoke plume, which is what we're all about here, you line it up, then you get on your cranker phone and you'd call up the next tower over or whoever would answer and say, I'm seeing smoke at 270 degrees. He'd line up on it and he'd say, I'm seeing it at 320 degrees. And then we'd call it in, and where those two lines matched, that's where the fire was. And then the hillbillies would get out there in the trucks and the burlap bags to go beat the fire to death. And it really was kind of fun. But in those days, batteries were darn near as big as your glass mat battery there. And they lasted about 8 hours because we had tube radios back in those days. So having done a lot of this forestry stuff, we've come to understand that accuracy is important only to the extent that you need to know where you are. Because when you're looking out there at this gentleman here, and he's a smoke plume, by the time you can see it, that plume's probably a mile wide. So if you're off a half a degree 10 miles back, you're still going to be in the mile. So what's important for us is to be able to be on these roads, and as you know, the roads we patrol for Firewatch are only paved roads. Apparently, we used to go on older roads before, dirt roads, and too many guys got stuck, ran off the road, and they spent more time pulling watchers out than they did looking for fires. So we only stay on paved roads now. And of course, you've been through the training, so you know all the do's and don'ts. I'm not going to talk about that. The real thing that you all learned initially was when you got a map out, you looked at the down the right-hand corner, and you looked for the declination. And the declination was the number of degrees, plus or minus, between true north and magnetic north. Now, true north is from wherever you are to the North Pole. That's true north. Magnetic north is wherever the compass thinks it is. And it varies by hemisphere, it varies by country, it varies by year. So a lot of guys are making mistakes because you're out there and you're in a hurry trying to figure out where you are. You're adding or subtracting, declination. And math errors when you're in a hurry are easy. So some brilliant young guy decided, this is stupid. Let's just orient the map and the compass and go from there. So what they're teaching today is take your map and don't put it on the hood of your truck because the battery, the alternator will screw up your magnet, your compass. Put it on the tailgate or put it on the ground. Like Lou, I've had a couple of back surgeries, so I can't get on the ground unless you get a sky hook to pick my butt up again. But you set the map wherever you're going to set it. I'm going to pick on Chris because he's got a lot of room around him here. This particular map happens to be Dora Belinda. This red line is the county boundary, so allegedly we're not supposed to worry about what's outside the boundary. Well, how are you going to orient this? You're going to orient this by taking your compass and setting it on here, and take the north line, which is this red line or this line, and you line it up so it matches the compass. The compass thinks that's north, okay? You think this is north, so you turn it around here until you got north and north agreeing. And that line right there, you rotate it, it puts you on north. And that's close enough. You don't need all this declination, all this foolishness. That's close enough. The important thing that you can't determine on a Thomas Brothers guide or any of those other worthless maps is where are you at the time? And where are you is important, because anything you do from that location needs to start with you knowing where you are. So you can take your compass, back, and let's say there's a hill over there where the TV is. You can line up your compass, and you take a sighting on the center of that TV, and you read it from here as 220 degrees. So you subtract 180 from it, because that's the declination coming back at you. Then you shoot another azimuth over here, let's say that trash container is, and that's going to be around 200 degrees, so you take 180 off of that. Where those two lines cross is where you're standing. Whether you think so or not, believe me, that's where you're standing. Now, if you're on a flat map, one of these, there aren't any good terrain features to take a shot at. So when you shoot back at yourself these two lines, where are you? You don't have a clue, because there's nothing on here to tell you high spots and low spots. You know, this is a pictorial representation. That map right there for Yorba Linda has some interesting features on it. And what we're going to do after we talk about it for a minute, I've got a map for each three different groups, and each one of you is going to get each group's going to get a map, and I've got some questions, and if you can't answer them, then I haven't done a good enough job with the class. So it's going to be a working session, but we're here to have fun, and the only dumb answer, dumb question is the one you don't ask, sir.
So the only thing we're concerned with is magnetic north, true north.
That's correct. Magnetic north and the map get you whatever you need to know. Now, if you look at a real map, you'll notice there's all kinds of terrain features, there's all kinds of focal lines. These maps are basically 20-foot contour lines, and there's this here. This line is the boundary of Cleveland National Forest out here. Now, we can patrol there on paved roads, and if it's in Orange County, it's part of our responsibility. But if it's not on there, then we have to try another method. Most of you guys, being younger than I, have GPS machines in your car. Most of you have smartphones that have GPS in them. And so that's the easy way to go. Unfortunately, if you're in the bottom of some of these canyons, like Santiago Canyon, up behind Loma Ridge, up by Irvine Lake, some of those areas, GPS isn't real good because they don't have a clear view of the sky. The canyons are too narrow. Also, in those canyons, there's no phone reception, no cell phone. So it's either your high-dollar antenna there, talking from the bottom of the canyon, or one of us scrambling up the side of the canyon until we get communications. Having said that, all of the wiggly lines are terrain features that are actually derived from photographs. USGS started doing this in 1923. They're probably fairly good at it now. But the closer together these lines are, the steeper the terrain. That's probably 45, 50 degrees angle here, whereas they're out here and they're spread way apart, that's kind of a flat land. when I was building construction